This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Giants lose again. They are 2-7. They go to Germany to play the Carolina Panthers. And losing to the Panthers is a very bad thing, but if you're looking to be in the top two or three in the draft, losing to the Carolina Panthers couldn't be a bad thing. But it's one of those deals where if you're Brian Daboll, of course you want to win the game. You want to show John Mara that you got this thing. You can keep it on track. It's not going to go completely off the rails. It's not going to be a three-win season for them. But in reality, a three-win season for them might put them in a better chance to be successful in the future. Now, I understand that there's no guarantee, but every example that you can give of a franchise that drafts high and takes a quarterback and fails, I could give you so far this year where three guys look pretty good, and the Giants were right there on the outside looking in. So you don't know. You just want to put yourself in a good position to draft those guys, but they are, of course, in a spot now where, I mean, I can't even imagine. Like the people, this is a good question that Al asked this morning on the Warm Show. Do the people in Germany know what type of turd football is going out there this week? Like, do they have any idea how bad these two teams are that they're getting?
You know, two bad teams could lead to a high-scoring game, which is all they really care about. I would think they want an entertaining game. I would imagine that the Giants are probably favored by a touchdown, I bet you.
Let's take a look at that. Would you bet me? I would probably say somewhere in there. But after this win for the Panthers, maybe it won't be a full touchdown. I have not looked at the spreads yet for the week. Not quite ready for that, but here we go. And 5.5. Giants 5.5.
Well, there you have it. I mean, look, the Giants are the better team. But, you know, we've seen other better teams lose games. We've seen the Jets lose to the Patriots, which is ultimately, I believe, is going to end up costing them the playoffs.
Yeah.
That was the game that they had to win. They had to win that game. They would have been on a two-game winning streak. It would have, you know, the 10 days off before you play the Cardinals next week in Arizona. It would have gotten you an opportunity to get the 6-5 by the bye as opposed to 5-6. And this Arizona game is not going to be easy. Because the Jets cannot, I mean, they just can't stop the run.
What do you think the spread in that game is?
I bet you the Jets are favored by 1.5 points.
It's actually the opposite. The Cardinals are favored by 1.5.
Yeah.
Cardinals minus 1.5. You know, just to go back to a conversation we had, was the point of this season just to make the playoffs? Because at this point, that's what it's turned into.
For
the Jets. Like, that's what it's turned into, is just to make the playoffs. Because they're not going to be able to compete with a team like the Baltimore Ravens or the Kansas City Chiefs. There's just no way.
They would have to. They're probably, if they make it to the playoffs, which is, like we see, a lot of things can happen. The Colts lost yesterday. The Broncos lost yesterday. So teams will end up coming back towards them as long as they continue to keep winning. If they make it, they're most likely going to make it as the 7th seed, meaning that they will end up playing the number 2 seed. And the number 2 seed is most likely either going to be, I would think, they could play Houston again, they could play Pittsburgh again, or they may end up playing Baltimore. Because I don't think anybody's overtaking
Buffalo, maybe.
Maybe Buffalo. Nobody's overtaking Kansas City.
Yeah. So, that's the point. It's like Aaron Rodgers didn't come here just to, like, squeak into the playoffs and lose.
Well, the point is get to the playoffs and then anything can happen. That's the point. If you can hold on to hope. I don't even want to think about those until I see where the team is at the bye now, because I felt like their pathway to the playoffs was 6-5 at the bye.
Yeah, the best they could do now is 5-6.
Which meant that they beat the Patriots, you know, and they of course, you know, beat the Houston Texans, and then they have the 10-day period where they're off, they get a little bit healthier, and then they play the also-ran kind of Cardinals, who have now won 2 in a row.
Yeah, which is a shocker. They're one of those real surprise teams in the NFL. So it'll be a huge game for the Jets, and maybe, who knows, if they're playing great football at the end of the year, they could surprise whatever. I just don't. It's just, like, if they do squeak in as the 7 seed and then get whacked, I mean, is it going to be celebrated because they came back from the dead and made the playoffs and they're going to give it another run? Like, that's, and I don't even think they even get in that position. But if they do, it'd be an interesting way to evaluate it. Like, are you evaluating it like, man, like, look at this. There's a lot of real positive momentum made into the playoffs. Maybe we got the right mix now, finally. But, you know, but then again, we can't compete with the top of the AFC. What the hell do we do?
Right. I was thinking about this Thursday night's game between the Bengals and the Ravens. Like, if you're the Jets, I think you want the Ravens to win. You know, I think you need the Bengals to continue to lose. You know, and the Bengals end up waxing, you know, the Raiders yesterday, and the Raiders are firing people now in the middle of the season, which usually doesn't bode well for the guys that are remaining behind them, meaning that they'll be shown the door this offseason. And a lot of, you know, this is where maybe Bill Belichick comes in. Like, there are going to be a lot of teams, I think, that will definitely interview him and may want him. And I think he's probably got a skeleton coaching staff ready to go right now.
Skeleton coaching staff. Didn't Mike McCarthy? Mike McCarthy had a skeleton coaching staff after he got fired with Green
Bay. Remember he was meeting in the offseason with his coaches and stuff when he did not have a job?
That is correct. That spread, by the way, is Ravens -6.5.
I bet you, I would think that Steve Spagnuolo is probably going to get a job somewhere. I would think that Ben Johnson's going to get a job somewhere, the offense coordinator from the Lions. But it's going to be a job that he's going to want. It's not going to be like he's not going somewhere where they're starting from scratch. Like, he already turned down Carolina once.
Yeah. I mean, he'd be a guy if I wouldn't be surprised if the Dallas Cowboys made a run at him. That'd be a tough job to turn down.
That would be a tough job. I would think that there's a very good chance that Jacksonville would go after him. And he would probably see Trevor Lawrence there, who's got a significantly losing record since he's taken over at Jacksonville. They spent a ton of money on free agency this year, and they're still losing.
Yeah, I mean, and that Shad Khan is you know, the way he talked about his football team going into this year, there's just no way that Doug Peterson is going to be able to stick around. And they're thinking about trading guys. You've already seen that. Travis Etienne maybe going to other teams. So that team is completely dead. Let's go to Ron, who's down in Florida. What's going on, Ron?
Hey, good morning, guys. Like the show, get up every morning, turn you on.
Well, thanks, Ron. What do you got for us today?
I know you've been talking to some Giants this morning, and I've been a fan my whole life. I'm a lot older, all right? So give me some slack here. But I've seen worse teams. And I'm talking bad teams. We couldn't score. And we lost the identity of the Giants. It's always been defense, in my opinion. And it wasn't a quarterback who changed the team. It was a linebacker. So, I mean, I'm just going to bring this up. It's a memory of mine. But I remember my first son was born. It was Thanksgiving. I was in the waiting room. And I'm watching the Giants play Detroit. And the game was terrible. Lawrence Taylor comes in the game, just takes it over, wins the game. Actually wins a game on defense. And our defense is terrible. We've lost that. It's not the Giants. If we don't play defense, we don't win 4 Super Bowls.
Yeah, and yesterday, and Ron, thanks. I mean, and yesterday the defense was disappointing, especially in critical moments, end of the first half. We talked about it. But, I mean, the defense has got some players on it this year. They've got a young secondary. Kayvon Thibodeau's been hurt, but Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns have been pretty good for them. But yeah, I mean, when the Giants win, I mean, we know it was the toughness of Eli Manning in big games, but it was also the fact that they got to the quarterback with four defensive linemen better than anybody in football did in those 2 years that they won the Super Bowl.
Steve Spagnuolo was their defensive coordinator.
Right. So that yeah, of course, I can't argue that. But, I mean, any team that has success has got a good defense, you know? I mean, it's not just the Giants. You know, there's been very rarely a team that wins a Super Bowl that's got a crap defense.
No, it's true. That's why I wonder about Baltimore, even though they, you know, they just smoked the Broncos yesterday. I still worry about their pass defense and whether or not, you know, when push comes to shove, you know, they added Deontay Johnson. They didn't add an extra pass rusher. They didn't add a defensive back. Maybe they will before tomorrow's deadline. But they look like they're a team now that is saying we're going to have to outscore everybody we play, as opposed to being that Raven defensive kind of culture that we've had all those years.
Think the Giants trade anybody away?
They may. I could see Aziz Ojulari being on trade, the trade block, and I can also
Darius Slayton,
possibly. I mean, yeah, I'm sure they're taking calls on certain players.
Yeah, they got to seriously consider that. I mean, anything to stockpile picks is the way to go in a season like this. Let's go to Eric in Syosset. What's going on, Eric?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Boomer, a question for you. I'm 76 years old. I've been a Giants fan since I was 8, through thick and thin. And I just have a question as to why everybody tiptoes through the tulips when it comes to this generation of Maras. I know John is a class act. He's a very, very austere gentleman. But why has nobody taken him to task the way they take Woody Johnson to task? When's the last good hire that John Mara made for either GM or coach? Even the Saquon Barkley situation where he bowed out and deferred to his football people for a few million dollars. Even putting that aside, what's the last good hire he made?
Well, it was Tom Coughlin.
This organization.
Tom Coughlin was. I think
how many years ago? How many years ago was Tom?
Yeah, we know that, but I would also say I thought Ben McAdoo would have been a good coach, and I think he was a guy that really wanted Patrick Mahomes. I think all the coaches that came after Tom Coughlin, with the exception of Brian Daboll, all had to deal with the Eli question. And all had to deal with all of that stuff.
See, I think Brian Daboll was a good hire. He won Coach of the Year in that first year, and I don't think he's a bad coach. I really don't. I mean, I can't sit here and say that Brian Daboll was a bad hire at this point.
No, I can't either. But again, he inherited a quarterback. And somehow he got that quarterback to lead his team to the playoffs. And by the way, that wasn't a one and done. You know, they had two games in that playoff run. And Daniel played great in that Minnesota game.
No, he did. I mean, then they got, you know, no one ever talks about the next week where they
got
completed.
Yeah, but that's not his fault. His next week, they were overwhelmed by a much better team.
I know, and they never got back there. And now they've been overwhelmed by much better teams ever since.
And unfortunately for Daniel, he's had a lot of injuries. And, you know, again, yesterday he lowered his shoulder. He scored a touchdown, bounced off a couple would-be tacklers. I mean, the kid is tough. There's no question about that. But it's to me, it's like the cloud of Eli when towards the end of Eli's career. It's the same thing. The Giants are at the same spot now.
Yep.
Where they have to do something. It's the reality of the business that the fan base has turned on the team. The fan base has turned on the owner. The fan base doesn't want the quarterback anymore. The fan base watches Jaden Daniels come in there and light them up. You know, these are all the horrific situations that, you know, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane now have to deal with. I think back to when they first got the jobs, how great it was, how much fun I'm sure they were having, and how, you
well,
know,
after that first year, I mean,
yes,
hell. I mean, remember Brian Daboll we were at the Super Bowl. What was it? It was the Arizona Super Bowl, and he was bopping around. He won Coach of the Year. He was at the NFL Awards, and I think Al and Jerry and Eddie were on the same plane as Brian Daboll, and he was signing autographs and kissing babies and whole thing. Yeah, not the same right now.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry is back. He's got another update for us. What's going on, Jerry?
Good morning, Jay. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We had the Commanders. We had the Giants. Remember on Friday, I played the clip of Brian Daboll talking about Deontay Banks having to follow 17 all around. Now, Terry McLaurin didn't have a monster game yesterday, but he certainly made a couple of big catches.
Second goal at the one. Again, a pistol set behind Daniels. Daniels is going to throw it left and hits McLaurin on the slant for the touchdown.
And you also, when I played that clip, your eyes went kind of sideways, like he's following Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
Well, he had that touchdown catch and then a very big touchdown catch right before the half. Part of the Commanders' 27-22 win over the Giants. Commanders now 7-2 for the first time since 1996. The Giants, they scored 22 points. They also missed two 2-point conversions, had a touchdown called back because of a BS penalty. They wound up kicking a field goal there. Here was Daboll. Why go for two? Down 24-16. And then you also put into the mix the fact that they haven't converted one yet this season.
Yeah, something that we talk about during the week. And when we get into that situation, that's what we're going to do. But it's, analytics-based.
Great. Here is Jones. Giants 2-7. Another brutal loss.
Yeah, very frustrating. I think, tough position. We got to find a way to make some more plays and win these games. Very frustrating.
So you stink. Get out. You're a backup.
Okay. let me ask you this question. When they're doing analytics, did they ever think about the success rate of the team going into the game?
I guess not.
With a particular type of play or a particular, form of a play, like a 2-point play? Like, what is the Giants' success rate on 2-point plays this year?
Zero.
Okay. So do you factor that into the analytics?
Well, they've had kicking problems the entire year. That's something also.
So you do factor that in.
Yeah.
You have to factor that in.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what he's factoring in, and without throwing his kicker under the bus or the kicking situation under the bus, he's basically saying, we're following the analytics, and this is why we're doing this.
But that was a new kicker. Kid was from Rutgers. He did kick a field goal yesterday. Wasn't like he was 0-3, and then they were like, that's it with the extra points.
Yeah, now do you factor that in?
Yeah, I would think you factor it all in, man.
Yes.
All of it's factored in.
Yes.
Here was Azeez Ojulari. No sacks from this defense. As Jaden Daniels threw for 209 and a couple of touchdowns, both that went to McLaurin.
You got to be better, for sure. It's a week-to-week thing. Every time you step on that grass, you got an opportunity, and we got to be better at doing that, for sure. Try to go back and look what we did today, and we got to be better.
This was Dexter Lawrence, who points the finger at the defense.
I think offense played well enough for us to win. Defense just got beat up today.
He was also then asked about, I don't know where this was. I can't find video of it. I guess it was after the game. He and Brian Burns had a very lengthy conversation. So reporters asked Lawrence about the details.
No, if I'm talking to my teammate, there ain't nothing for you to be concerned about. We're just talking about the game and what we're going to do to be better.
You shut your face. So then they go to Burns and they ask him the same question. Here was his reply.
Just talking over the game, things that happen, things we need to change for this week coming up. And that's pretty much it.
What do you think needs to change?
I'll probably keep what me and Dex said disclosed.
Respect disclosed. It. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So don't know what the conversation was about. That game this Sunday will be in Germany against the Panthers.
It'd be funny if Brian Burns is like, listen, man, we're 2-7. Why do you even care? Why do you care we were talking about?
They're going to Germany and then they have a bye. So this is like, we'll see you for 2 weeks.
That's true.
And then when the Giants come back,
the fans can't wait for them
to get back into it.
I just saw CBS Sports Network put the graphic up 0-5, 10 points per game at home.
Yeah.
What an experience.
Rough.
At least MetLife is easy to get in and out of.
Good place to tailgate.
If you want to take in a game.
The Giants are like kind of where the Cowboys are right now. So horrific at home.
Yeah, not good. The
Eagles given up like 120 points at home in three games.
The Cowboys, yeah, well, they gave up a boatload of points to the Saints, as we know. The Ravens scored 28, and then I forget what the third one was, but the Lions basically put up 49.
Yeah, they went in there and just torched them.
They did. So we go to the link yesterday where the Eagles got up 22-0 on the Jaguars. Then Jacksonville scored. Saquon Barkley fumbled the ball away. Jacksonville scored again, and all of a sudden we had a game until got a little more separation with this pretty amazing play.
Three receivers to the far side, two to the near side. Hurts in an empty backfield. Cacavera in motion. Cacatera moves to his right. Here goes Hurts, going for the end zone. Devontae Smith, he caught it one-handed. I don't know if
what
he stayed. He's in!
Oh, my
one
goodness.
One hand! I don't know how he did it.
Eagles radio with the call. He did stay in bounds somehow with the 2 feet. Pretty amazing catch. Made it 28-16. 28-23 was the final. The Jaguars did have the ball late, too, and the Eagles picked them off. Trevor Lawrence picked off in the end zone to end it. I'll play this, and you tell me what you think Nick Sirianni's talking about.
It was the best play I've ever seen.
The Saquon. Yes, that's right. It was not about the Devontae Smith catch. It was this.
It was the best play I've ever seen. Saquon's play, I think so cool, there's going to be kids all over the country and all over Philadelphia. I really think about that, trying to make that play and talking about that play and like simulating that play.
All over the he stopped world.
Yeah,
all over the world.
Right.
So funny.
Little children in Germany will be emulating Daniel Jones.
That's right.
God after help that him. Game against the Panthers.
Oh, God help him.
It is crazy for him to do that. Agreed. Backwards. I mean, the hurdle a man without even looking at him.
Get an extra 4 yards. He went for almost 160 on the ground, had a touchdown catch. So he was pretty damn solid yesterday.
By the way, he's on pace for over 1,900 yards rushing. And over 2,200 total yards for the Eagles.
That's pretty good.
I would say it's a pretty good signing for the Eagles at the moment.
So far, it's working out. But also remember, the Eagles were, 10-1 last year? They started out, is that right? And lost their last five, something like that. So we shall see.
Saquon's making incredible plays like that week in and week out. Something that they didn't get last year.
They had a lot of weather at Lambeau Field. It was chilly. It was raining. The indoor Lions, no worries.
Second down and 2 Green Bay from their own 38. Love takes the shotgun snap. Lions bring a late blitz. Love back, looking, being chased. Love throws. Picked up by Lions. Kirby Joseph, left side. He's going to go, baby. Count it down. 5. End zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, how big is that?
Fair to say they shut the windows.
I was going to say, was he doing it from his car?
No, there's no, I would think with the rain, they probably had the windows shut. It sounds like he is indoors. 24-14, the pick six there made it 17-3. The Lions beat Green Bay. And again, that really wasn't as close as the final score indicated. Here was Jordan Love. What in the hell happened on that play?
An interception, was moving out of the pocket. Obviously, Josh was blocking in protection and so I'm trying to get out and was trying to dump it down as a check down to him. And, the ball did not go where I wanted it to.
No.
And, they made a
good and play. This was not long after Brian Branch was ejected for the tackle, leading with the shoulder into the helmet. And I saw, so Tom Brady could possibly get fined?
He didn't get fined.
Because he's a part owner now for criticizing the officials?
I guess part of the rules that he has to operate under being a part owner and a broadcaster, this is not going to last long, by the way, is that he's not allowed to criticize the officials.
So, to be clear, he can't go visit with teams now during the week.
That's right.
Because he's a part owner. And now he can't say anything bad about the officiating when it stinks.
That's right.
You know what? They have they do have the Super Bowl this year. Maybe he wants to do a Super Bowl and then call it quits.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of money that he signed for.
All jokes aside, what if the Raiders were in a Super Bowl that Fox had? Let's say 2 years from now.
That's never going to happen, but...
You know, but...
I know what you're saying. And Mark Davis says he's going to be involved in whatever the Raiders are doing moving forward.
Hmm. Seems odd.
That's why I'm thinking, this ain't going to last long. I mean, and quite frankly, I know they're paying him $37.5 million a year.
Yeah, so how is he going to be able... Is he going to be able to make that up just being with the Raiders? Like, that's a lot of money to just walk away from. Unless him being a part owner of the Raiders is going to eclipse that.
I don't know. They're going to have to seize his cell phone. That's what they're going to have to do.
Very strange. Rams beat the Seahawks in overtime 26-20. I want to bring you back. We're talking about Seattle. I want to bring you back to September when we got this oldie but a goodie from Chris Russo.
Smith played well, and his receivers, Metcalf caught 10, Jackson Smith, Njuguba, the kid from Ohio State, he caught 12 more.
Okay, so that one's kind of off.
Njuguba, the kid from Ohio State.
But this might be worse when talking about Puka Nacua. Now, this was prior to the game yesterday, and this is not Chris Russo. This is a guy I would call Mr. Football, Joe B.
The receivers are back. Cooper Kupp is back. The kid Puaha, whatever you say his name, Puha, the other wide receiver is back as well.
Puha. Poi. Whatever his name is.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They got the receivers are back. Cooper Kupp is back. The kid Puaha, whatever you say his name. Puaha, the other wide receiver is back as well.
He's back there.
I mean, does it get any easier than Puka Nacua?
Puaha Luau. That guy, he's back now. Whatever it is, who cares? Doesn't matter.
Oh, funny. Anyhow, Sunday Night Football, the Vikings.
Puaha.
Puaha and Pua.
Not Puka.
Vikings beat the Colts 21-13. Sam Darnold, 290, three touchdowns, couple of picks. This was the game Joe Flacco started. He was sacked three times, hit seven others. Here is old man Flacco.
They definitely got after us. I mean, they kind of did what they were going to do the whole game, and we just, you know, we'd have a play here and there, but then we'd either shoot ourselves in the foot or just not really be able to keep drives going.
Sam Darnold connecting to Josh Oliver, Jordan Addison, and Jalen Naylor for the three touchdowns, and Justin Jefferson had seven catches for .137. So that NFC North now has the Lions at 7-1. You've got the Vikings and Packers both at 6-2 for the Vikings. With Packers 6-3 now after losing to Detroit. So that's a hell of a division right there. And the Vikings bounce back from the back-to-back losses with that win over the Colts yesterday. Monday Night Football, the Bucks take on the Chiefs. Kansas City 7-0 on the season. Yankees ace Gerrit Cole opting out of his contract, but the Yankees can void it if they add a fifth year to his remaining terms at $36 million, which would keep him with the Yankees through 2029, where he would be 39 years old.
See ya.
So that means he thinks Scott Boris
Somebody, is playing, somebody yeah. thinks that good, he's going to get another contract.
Would someone give him 5 years, $200 million at this stage of his career after missing half the season with injury this year?
Listen, Steve Cohen did it with two guys.
5 years, though?
Well, he gave Scherzer four.
That's true. That's a good point. You also saw how that went.
You got to see what the other alternatives are, right? So Corbin Burns would be an alternative. Blake Snell would be an alternative. You know, they're younger than he is. I think Corbin is 30. I'm not saying that he's Gerrit Cole, but I'm just saying that, look, if you're going to try to re-sign Soto, all right, you've already let Rizzo go. That's going to be a $6 million charge to the team because they didn't want to pay him the 17 million. Sure. So he's gone. So
Glaber's probably gone.
So who's that?
Gleyber Torres probably
most
gone.
Likely. And if Cole's gone, then all of a sudden, you know, you most likely have the money, but you're going to have to spend other money to fill other spots. Right field being one of them, and first base being the other. Even though they have DJ LeMahieu and Birdie still on the roster.
Very interesting. Pistons beat the Nets 106-92. Nets play the Grizzlies tonight. The Knicks are in Houston against the 3-3 Rockets. And the Rangers beat the Islanders.
Long shot, score! Trocheck was in front. Panarin with a good long shot. Artemi Panarin. It's a power play goal. And the Rangers lead.
The great Sam Rosen with the call on MSG.
Dwayne Trocheck.
He would add the empty net goal with Panarin. The Rangers beat the Islanders 5-2. The Rangers out to an 8-2-1 start. Tonight, the Devils skate in Edmonton with the Oilers.
All right, thanks, Jerry. Coming up next, we open up a Boomer and Geo investigation. Was there misappropriated sound used on an update? Was there illegal sound used during an update? That is coming up next. It's-
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Okay, so we have a Boomer and Geo investigation here. So I was listening to this morning, and it caught my ear right away. And it was right before the warm-up show started. And then when the warm-up show started, both Jerry and Al had the exact same reaction that I did, that they didn't even open up their show with the Giants right away. They had to address this because it was shocking. It was just, it was out of place and bizarre, and it needed to be addressed, and I'm glad that they did. So this is the 5 a.m. updates, the overnight updates. We had run several times throughout the overnight, but this is when I heard it, and it's Peter Schwartz, our guy, doing the update. So first you're going to hear his opening lead, his first story, his big story, and then we're going to stop his update, and then you're going to guess what he does next after that, okay?
Okay, yes.
All right, so let's listen. So he opens up the update with...
Good morning at 5 o'clock. I'm Peter Schwartz. We'll begin at MetLife Stadium where the Giants lost to the Commanders 27-22. Big Blue drops to 2-7. Daniel Jones threw for 174 yards and two touchdowns.
Okay, there you go. Giants story. I think that's right. Now, what's next? He hits several other things in this update. What do you think would be next? And you've been doing sports and football for a long time. You know how your journalistic sense, you've got that. What is next in this update?
Yeah, but you're expecting to think what I think is going to be next as opposed to thinking what he is going to do.
All right, let's just put it this way. What would you put next?
What would I put next? I would probably put a few other football games in there.
Mm-hmm. How about the Sunday night game?
Yeah, Sunday night game. Everybody's so popular. You know, the game is so popular. Everybody's dialed into the NFL. That would be the next thing that I would do.
Now, what do you think Peter did?
I have a feeling, since you're asking me this question, it's either Islanders-Rangers, or it's got something to do with the Professional Women's Hockey League.
All right, so you're closer with the second one.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yes.
Hit it, Eddie.
Now to game two of the MLS Cup playoffs, Red Bulls and Columbus in penalty kicks. New Jersey native Daniel Edelman with a chance to send the Red Bulls to the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Homegrown, who grew up about 30 miles away from where he's about to take this kick. Edelman, go!
Steve Cangelosi on Apple TV. Red Bulls beat defending MLS Cup champion Columbus in Game 2. They win the series 2-0. The game was tied 2-2 after 90 minutes.
I mean, all right. So, okay. He did three times the amount of time on the Red Bulls as he did the Giants, on top of the fact that it was the second story that he did. So what does this make you think?
It makes me think he got free seats or something, got access.
Must have been, right?
Had to be. He had to have gone to the game. Got into the game somehow, some way.
Please stop with the lies. It's not Fox News.
Yeah, okay.
So we have done some investigation.
We did that. See, this one I love when we get into our investigative patterns here and find things out accurately.
So to me, he's trying to keep the pot straight. Sammy Steinlight, who is hired by the Red Bulls to promote, he brings Peter all sorts of stuff and sweatshirts and donuts and everything. Free tickets. And we had heard on Friday that Peter was asking for a car paid by the Red Bulls to get him to the game. So I'm thinking 100% that's what this is. Shockingly enough, Peter was not at the game.
Wow.
Peter did not go to the game.
So then why do you think he did what he did?
I think that he's gotten enough stuff over the years where he said, man, like, you know, I really want to give the Red Bulls a pat on the back here because I've gotten so many sweatshirts, so many tickets, so many pastries, so much everything. That, and Sammy, I think maybe he felt like he crossed the line with the car and the way Sammy responded to it. And he's like, you know what? Let me back off a little bit, give the Red Bulls some love, and I feel like I can get away with it because of this local kid story. That's what I think happened.
Please stop with the lies.
But it would have been a hell of a lot better story if we found out the Red Bulls paid for a car for him to go there.
So, all right, so we at least he didn't get the car service, and he didn't go to the game.
He did not.
And he's trying to do the right thing here at a 5 a.m. sports update.
Yeah, but
The right thing for him personally.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. It has nothing to do with the right thing journalistically or for the radio station or anything else. I mean, first of all, he puts it second in the update. Then the length of it. And he's using sound. I mean, he was kept going on and on and on.
Now, is that a legal use of sound or no? Can we use the Apple Plus sound?
It's not a legal use of sound. It's just bad judgment.
All right.
Just bad judgment.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, I was just... I mean, that is some diabolical stuff, though. I mean, that really is.
Well, that's our Peter Schwartz.
This is what he does.
I mean, what is that? Why does any of that surprise you? It's like the Giants have one of the worst records in football. Why does that surprise you?
No. It's not about being surprised. Obviously, it's on brand for him. But this is taking it once again to another level. Like, he is reaching new heights with this. Just like, you know, we're saying, you know, why are you surprised the Giants think? Well, if the Giants only win two games this entire, you know, this is it. Like, they don't win another game the rest of the year. That's new heights of suckdom for them.
Okay.
And you're like, well, why are you surprised? Well, I'm surprised that they only won two games. That's terrible. But for him on a Friday to ask for these Red Bulls tickets and a car, and then on Sunday night into Monday, play like 45 seconds of Red Bull sound after an NFL football Sunday. This is new heights. This is new heights for him.
Okay. All right.
This is new heights for even him.
But it's defensible, unfortunately.
It is. But I do think that he did this because he felt like Sammy was like, are you nuts? You want me to pay for a car for you? Like, he thought he had tarnished his relationship with Sammy by going over the line.
So he asks for the free tickets and goes, oh, by the way, I'll be here. Can I get a lift over?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I would say is that even if he got a lift over, it would probably end up in a flat tire or something.
Yeah. Like, remember when I got him that Uber?
And then Sammy's Uber account would be ruined.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, just unbelievable. Yeah, I got him that Uber over to White Eagle Hall, gets into an accident. I got to cancel the Uber, and my rating goes down. I can't even get picked up out here. I'm like a serial killer.
That's right.
Is it still affected?
Oh, yeah. Right in the tubes. Right down the tubes. I got like a 4.3 rating. You know how bad that is? All because I canceled because I had to get a new car for Schwartz. I wasn't even a part of this thing. It's terrible. I mean, the premium ones won't even give me a sniff.
You know, but the amazing thing is that the car got into an accident and Peter wasn't driving it.
Yeah, but it's all his fault. It just is. It's just, that's the way the world works. It's my fault for getting him the car. I should have never got him the car. But yeah.
And maybe this is why Sammy and the Red Bulls didn't want to get him the car. Maybe that they knew that he had a history. Like, you know, because I could see Sammy doing his homework on this.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Sure. And he demanded from you Legends seats for 12 and an Uber over from Long Island to Jersey City.
Yeah. And also, he got also the outdoor game tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, he wanted the outdoor game. Yep. Yep.
And Canton.
Yeah, we took care of him in Canton, too.
So I mean, I guess about $8,000?
I mean, when you think about what we've been able to do for him and how we've done it for him, I mean, that's been a lot of like coin going his way without actual money being exchanged.
Yeah.
But we're taking care of things.
And all he's had to do was get fluff spread on him and condiments poured over his head. That's it. That's all we've gotten in return. He's gotten the better end of that deal.
I think so, yeah.
No doubt about it.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.